I thought I'd come back for a visit. No, I'm teasing. It's nice to see all of you tonight. It's always good to be together at the Rock, Friday night, my favorite night of the week, besides Access, which is Tuesday, besides Wednesday, which is something else. Every night's favorite night of the week, right? Anybody here ever channel surf? Any? One guy down here? A fellow male? Is there any other males here that channel surf? I know you girls don't. You get locked in, boy, you just love that show. But us guys, right, we're like channel surfing. Last night was one of those channel surfing nights for me. Life's been a little crazy. Today was one of those days I'm going to check off and never remember again. But I won't get into that. And so last night, I don't know, it was about 9:30. I don't know the exact time. And I was downstairs and I was playing my guitar a while. I thought, you know, I think I'll turn the TV on for a minute. So I turned the television on. God usually speaks to me when I turn the TV on. So, he really does. See, you'll understand after tonight's message. I'm serious. So, I try to take in whatever comes into my life and look for the spiritual lesson behind it. I always ask myself, what is God teaching about life right now? What is life teaching me about God? So, I turn on this program and Extreme Makeover. Now, I usually don't watch shows like this, but it was right probably the last 10 minutes of the show. And so they were kind of giving a recap. And they brought on this brother and this sister in their middle 40s. Sounds familiar. I'm in the upper 40s. But anyway, and they were really, 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 really homely. And I'm being kind. And, well, I mean, that's why they were on the show. Right? You only put ugly people on these shows, right? You understand that, right? Well, anyway, you'd have to see the show to understand. I'm not lying. And the guy had this beard and receding forehead, and these are the comments they're making, and he kind of had a Neanderthal forehead, and the gal was just, wow, you know, now I got a feeling, that they, you know, they made him look really bad. But anyway, they didn't have to work too hard. And that's why they're on the show. I'm getting to the good part. Okay, so anyway, when I finally saw them, they had tape around their head and they had a thing on their nose. And they were walking along the beach, this brother and sister, and evidently, you know, they were the homeliest of the homely in their whole family. And so their family had supposedly, you know, put their name up for getting an extreme makeover. Hello. Thank you very much. And so they start with the guy. And first, you know, he's still got this bandage around his head and his beard and his hair and on his nose. But they're going into this clothing store. And, of course, they have one of those guys helping him with his clothes. And so he picks out this certain kind of clothes and takes off his shorts and tennis shoes that he usually wears, and he comes walking out and he's like, man, you're so cool. And he's telling him all these wonderful things. And then they flash to the girl and they're doing the same thing with her and new fitted dress and all this other kind of stuff. And so then they finally get to the moment that, well, they haven't taken the bandage. Well, they've taken the bandage sort of off, and now they're getting new hair. And the guy, he's got this big bald spot on his head, and so they bring in this specialist, and he speaks with a French accent. And so the next thing you know, they're doing his hair, and they're giving him a weave. All the new hair they put in is going to grow, and so they weave it really tight to his hair, and you can't tell it's really a toupee, which it isn't, because it's not glued or anything like that. It's just hair in his hair, and it's this weave stuff. And then they shave him, And then the girl, they're giving her new color and cutting 4 inches off her hair and all that dead stuff. And they're being, you know, sound like they had an Australian guy doing that. And so then finally, they take the bandages off and they put them in their clothes. And, of course, their backs to the audience and they're each in a different salon. And they hand them a mirror. And the guy, you know, all you can see is the back of his head, no bald spot anymore. And he just starts to sob. And he's just, oh my God, that's me? I can't believe it. And, you know, you're just captivated. And then they go to the girl, and she just, you know, she gets the mirror. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And so, you know, they've changed their teeth, and they've changed their face, and they've nipped, and they've tucked. And so finally the moment comes, and they have all their family and friends, and it's in Austin, Texas. There's this real fancy club down in Austin, Texas. If you've seen Austin City Limits, it's kind of a fancy music town. So they have this fancy place, and the first limo pulls up, and it's the guy. And he gets out of the car, and of course, none of us get to see him because we all get to see him at the same time. It's his family and friends and et cetera. So he comes walking, you know, out of this limousine, walking in through this archway into this gorgeous courtyard, and all the family and friends, and all of a sudden, of course, they can see before us, and they're like, oh, my God, oh, he's beautiful. And it just goes on and on and on. And then you finally get to see him. And it's, oh my gosh, it's incredible. And he's smiling from ear to ear. And his teeth are perfectly white. And instead of 42, he looks 25. And then they go through the before and after. And they start pointing out, and we did liposuction. And we did his nose. And we moved back his forehead. And we cut his eyebrows. And we did his hair. And we gave him a weave. And you're like, and the guy is just beaming. He's never beamed. Never. In 44 years of his life, he's never beamed. I'm serious. And all his friends are commenting. He's just radiant from ear to ear. And this gal that had known him since he was in third grade, they brought her as a surprise guest. And she's just sobbing. He's never had so much confidence. I just can't believe it. Oh, my God. He's just incredible. He's gorgeous. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And, of course, he's hugging everybody. Everybody's hugging him. And he's kind of working the room like he's a confident politician. He's never, ever done this in his life. And then he says, all that really matters to me is how my sister looks. No, I forget her name. And so finally the moment comes and she gets out of her limousine. And the door opens and out walks. And, of course, they only show you the silhouette. And it's like definitely a different person. And she comes in. Her red, tight-fitting dress and her brooch right here. But, you know, it's form-fitting, but not revealing. And she comes walking through, and again the screams, and the brother starts to cry, and she sees him, and he sees her. And, oh, my gosh, she's had a nip and a tuck and implants and new hair and new haircut and new teeth and a new nose. And if you see her picture, you go, this is not the same person. And she's just radiant. And her son, who's about 17 years old, is just sobbing. And I can't believe it's my mother. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have the house a lot to myself because she's going to have so many dates. And if you saw her before, you'd understand why I was saying this. And it was, of course, without, you know, going into a big tirade on plastic surgery and all that kind of stuff and the shallowness of Americans and et cetera, et cetera. It was an incredible moment because it was a God moment for me, and I'm going to get to that, how it relates to you. And they started interviewing these people and what they used to be like, and the sister and brother, finally they're interviewing near the end of the show, and the show's just starting to wrap up, and the sister says, he worked the room like he was a politician. I've never seen my brother that way. He'd always hang back, and he was always real inhibited, and he was real self-conscious. Of course, I was too, and he just radiated with so much joy. That was a comment. And everyone's comment. There was so much joy and self-confidence. And I thought to myself, oh God, I wish that I could convey somehow to every Christian I know that they have been the recipient of an extreme makeover by God, and that's what God intended for you to experience through Jesus Christ. You have been given an extreme makeover by God. When you came to Christ, you were not the same person anymore. You are perfect. You are stunning. You are beautiful. You are without fault in the eyes of God. There are no blemishes in you whatsoever. And here is this guy and this gal who for 44 years of their life have lived self-conscious, afraid, alone, without real joy in their life, and in really just a matter of weeks, their lives were transformed, except theirs won't last, because they're both going to get old, and the Botox only works so long. And if they didn't change their lifestyle, the liposuction fat that was sucked away is going to come back. But your extreme makeover is not only not going to change, but as soon as you cross the other side, you're going to have what these people wanted, but your new body, your new teeth, your new everything is never going to fade or wear out. And as I watch this brother and sister, it just hit me again how critically important it is that you don't allow the devil to steal you your birthright, to steal it from you. The thief comes only to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And he wants to rob you of what God gave you. You see, before we came to Christ, we were as homely as sin. We were decrepit. We were rotten through and through. We were self-centered. There was no reason for joy in our lives whatsoever. We pursued it. We thought there would be. And everything wore off. And everything wore off. A little bit like Botox. It just wears off. And then you're stuck with your old crinkly face again. Then you get it again. It wears off. The whitening of the bleach on the yellowing teeth only lasts so long. Then you got to take a little more enamel, then a little more, and then you can't do it anymore. But when God finished with you in a moment, it's done. It's done. And if you can get this, now listen very carefully to me. Please listen to this. A lot of people over the years have asked me, Mark, you know, you talk pretty openly about your struggles, about your weaknesses and all that kind of stuff. So tell me, where does your confidence come from? Where do you learn to walk in front of people? Why do you hold your head high? Because I'm what I'm talking about to you tonight. Because I know I live in the awareness consistently, not perfectly. I live consistently in the awareness that I am stunningly, fantastically beautiful in the eyes of God, that I have no blemishes, that I am right with God, that my life, as far as God is concerned, is perfect, that He's forgiven everything in my life, and there's nothing God holds against me. I have already had God's makeover. And I believe it. And the same is true for you if you've come to Christ. If you've come to Christ, you've been transformed. Listen to a few things the Scripture tells us. In Ephesians chapter 1, we find this. How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. Now, I want you to pause on it just a moment. Maybe you've heard of the extreme makeover, the house one, where they come to these really needy people and they give them a house, or they give them an extreme makeover to their house. You have every blessing already in heaven you could ever have. They're there. They're waiting to be accessed, and they're waiting there for you when you go. There is, in fact, no more blessing that God could give you. Have it all. You just don't realize it. And then he goes on to say, long ago, eons ago, even before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Christ, and this gave Him great joy. if you've seen any of the Extreme Makeover shows. The people who were actually doing it, the producers, or the people last night on the show, they were crying because of the joy that they brought to this brother and sister. If you've seen the one about the house, or that farm family whose husband had died, and they were going to lose everything, and they come in and change everything for them, and all the farmers come together and harvest their crop, it gave those participants joy to make that family happy. It gives God pleasure. It gave God extreme joy to make you over. And His makeovers do not wear off. They don't need repaired. They don't need fixed. They're done. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness He has poured out. I love that word, poured. Another version says, lavished. And again, thought of the show. They didn't just do a little thing here, a little thing there, a nice little haircut and little clothes to cover the fat. They sucked off the fat, gave them new clothes, got rid of this, got rid of that, and brought them in a limo. And they lavished on them like they were some movie stars. You are more. You are more. God has lavished on you. You are as much a son and daughter of Jesus Christ with full rights as Jesus Christ Himself. You have the same standing before God as the Son of God. And He calls you brother, sister. God's unchanging plan was to make you His child. God's secret plan has now been revealed. And God, it says here, poured out on us because we belong to His Son. He has been so rich in kindness that He purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Once you were dead, homely, doomed forever because of your sin. But God is so rich in mercy that He loved you very much. And even while you were dead because of your sin, He gave you life when He raised Christ from the dead. Look what He says in 2 Corinthians. What all this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They're not the same anymore, for the old life is gone and a new life has come. This is the secret to the Christian life, right here. It's the full and complete conviction that this is true. It's living in the awareness that this is true. Here's how it works. Here you got a guy, go back to the show, very homely, very self-conscious before, wasn't a people person, didn't really interact with people, and in a moment, basically in about 4 weeks' time as they did this, he became a different person. Now, at any moment, he could have stopped in the crowd and thought, wait a minute, because see, he might have forgot what he looked like. He might have forgot who he was now and thought, wait a minute, what, these people, I'm ugly. I've always been ugly. Who am I trying to fool? And then he brought up the mirror. No, I'm not ugly. I'm a different person. I have a wonderful smile. I'm a wonderful person. You see, all of a sudden, he had confidence. You know what's interesting about people? Some of you have trouble with people. You want to know the secret with people? The secret with people is be confident around them. You know what the Bible says in Romans, or in Proverbs? That the righteous are as bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no one's pursuing. We often act like we're wicked instead of a righteous. We hold our head down. We're as shy as can be. We're uncomfortable around people. Why? The Bible tells us to hold our head high in the light of God's marvelous grace. You remember that song? Hold your head up high, hold your head up high, hold your head high. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, and anyway, it's a really great song. And every time you think of that song now, you're going to remember this. Hold your head high in the light of God's marvelous generosity. You're a new person. Whether you want to believe it or not, if you've come to Christ, you're a new person. You're a new creation. In fact, you could call the New Testament the New Creature Covenant. You have become new. You have become holy. You have become righteous in the sight of God. In Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we've been made right, for those of you that don't know English, don't remember English, have been made right is past tense. It's done. It's a done deal. Not are being made right, have been made right. Past tense, it's done. You are right with God if you know Christ. We have peace with God because of what Christ has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. When we were utterly helpless and homely, Christ came at the right time and died for us. This is phenomenal stuff. You understand this, you get this, it will revolutionize your life. I am not blowing smoke up your nose. I'm telling you the truth. This is the power of the gospel. Let's talk about Paul for a moment. Some of you may not know this. The apostle Paul used to be named Saul. Saul was a short little Jewish man, about, many scholars believe, between 4'2" and 4'8". He was a violent aggressor against Christ's church. He was the one responsible for giving permission for stoning the first martyr, Stephen, in the Bible. He was violent, he was aggressive, and he thought he was doing God's will, and he was ignorant, and he was whacked. You know what happened to this man, Paul? He's going along, his name was Saul, he's going along the road to this other town to get more Christians to persecute them and kill them. And on the way, he has a transforming moment. He's knocked down by a blinding light. Christ speaks to him, and in a moment of time, he is transformed from what was old to a brand new person. And the rest of his days, he lives this phenomenal new life. You see, we don't look on what's on the outside. Imagine for a moment with me that Christ, all the things that you don't like about yourself could disappear. How would you feel? How would you feel if all the things you didn't like about yourself would disappear? That is exactly what God has given to you in Jesus Christ. Now, you say, oh, Mark, biggest problem in my life is my body. Don't worry, it's leaving. It's rotting. And it's only a matter of time, just hang on, before you get your new perfect one. In the meantime, the banana peel doesn't matter. All that matters is what's inside the banana peel. That's you and me. And that's new. And that's perfect. And that's right. And it's beautiful. And it's awesome. And it's powerful. So much more powerful than that which is on the outside of us. Years ago, I tried to capture this. I don't know if you'd really call it a poem, but it's something I wrote and I use in the Renew groups when I started Renew. There's one in your program. You don't have to look at it right now. I'm going to read it to you. But I'm going to go through this to help you grasp, if you're willing, to understand what it is God has done for you. It's called Because I Am. And I name it that. You remember when Moses said, Lord, who should I tell him sent me? And he said, tell him I am sent you. I am. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than that. I am. I am. I've always been. I'll always be. I am. Because I am righteous, I feel pure. Because I'm powerful, I feel strong. Because I'm beautiful, I feel lovely. See, I want you to understand something. We do not live by feelings. We live by faith. But faith ought to result in some new ways of feeling. If you really believe. If we'd have taken these two brothers, this brother and sister last night, And imagine for a moment, and this sounds so crazy to us, see, because we just can't grasp it until we think of ourselves. But imagine for a moment that they were given a mirror, all these things were changed, but they just refused to believe that was really them. And they refused to come out of the limousine because I just can't possibly be this attractive. I mean, I just can't be. I've never been this. These are all my old pictures. Look at them. That's me. Give them a mirror. No, this is you. No, that's me. I know a lot of Christians like that. God is holding the mirror of Jesus Christ. You're in His image. And He's perfect and He's lovely and He's holy and He's saintly. And so are you. If you really believe it, it'll affect how you feel. That's all there is to it. Now, none of us are perfect. We live in a human planet. What we're going for is consistency, not perfection. We are going for consistent experience in Jesus Christ based on correct biblical theology that I have embraced with my mind and my heart by faith. Because I am justified, I feel no guilt. Because I am perfect, I feel adequate. Because I'm handcrafted by God, I feel special. Because I'm bought with His blood, I feel priceless. Because I'm continually cleansed by His blood, I feel clean. Because I'm loved by God, I feel secure. Because I'm adequate and complete, I feel confident. Because I'm His chosen child, I feel worthy. Because I am what I am by His grace, I feel proud of who He made me to be. Because I'm accepted by God, I feel no pressure to prove myself. Because I'm a saint, I will not feel like a sinner. Because in Christ, I am all these things, I feel great about me. Now, you may think it's tacky. You can go on thinking it's tacky. I plan on living it and have been for the last 26 years. Every one of these sayings has the corresponding text, biblical text beside it from which the saying was derived. You can go home and study it later. One of the sad things I believe that's happened in our culture today, and I hope you don't take this wrong, because it can be taken to an extreme, but for me personally, having dealt with really a lot, I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say I've dealt with thousands of people. I have. Is there's this thing out there called psychology. Now, psychology can have its pluses. There's no doubt about that, especially when it's guided by Scripture, by devout men and women who are in the field, and they're coming from a Christian perspective. With that being said, one of the things that concerns me is that psychologists have wonderfully come up for a name for all of us to be pigeonholed. You're passive-aggressive. You're this. You're that. You're this. And so we go through life a little bit like an ex-con. Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm passive-aggressive. Hi, my name is Sandra, and I'm codependent. Hi, my name is Billy. And we've got all these little tattoos across our forehead of what we were before Christ got a hold of us. Now, I'm not saying we don't struggle with things like, hi, I'm Mark, and sometimes I struggle with my temper. Hi, my name's Mark, and sometimes I struggle with jealousy. But I'm not a jealous person. That guy was killed 30 years ago when Jesus killed him. I'm a new person. And if, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but if you've ever met someone who's an ex-con, one of the most difficult things to overcome in your life is ex-con. It's on your papers. It's here. It's there. And you walk through your life with this cloud over your head. It's just, I am an ex-con. I am an ex-con. You're a saint. Did you know that? The Pope and the Cardinals can argue all they want about who should be sainted, who shouldn't. Do you know what the Bible calls you? You are saint. You are no longer the sinner that you were. You are a saint. And when you begin to believe this, now this is very important for you to understand. It does not make you proud. It makes you very humble because you realize it was all a gift to you from God. But in humility, you believe it because God said it's true. And because of that humility, it makes you very confident. And you're going to need that confidence to walk an upright life, to just keep right on going from this day forward, living out the life that God has called you to live. Imagine you have a little child, and all that child's life was treated like a dog. The parents would smack him down every time he tried to stand up, made him lap his food out of a bowl, abused him terrible. Imagine for a moment that this 8-year-old little abused child, malnourished, treated like a dog, rolling around in his own feces, is removed from that home and put in the home of a wonderful, loving couple. Does everything change for that little child right away? No. But with the nurturing and the care of that loving mother and father, and as they see other siblings in the home, they're walking, maybe I could walk. They're laughing, maybe I could laugh. They're eating at a table, maybe I could. And with patience, and the next thing you know, that child is holding its head high in the light of the realization, I'm really not a dog. And because of what Christ did for you, you really aren't a sinner anymore in the eyes of God. And I'll walk out here and say, Mark said we don't sin anymore. We sin. We're saints that sin. You're a new person. And if you'll take this and you'll get a hold of this, it will revolutionize the way in which you live your life. Because you begin to realize that I live by God's grace. I'm like that couple that had this extreme makeover. And now I can walk up to people and smile and put out my hand and say, what's your name? I'm Mark. It's great to have you here tonight. You know why? Because I have been liberated from what you think about me. The most tragic way in which to live your life is the fear of man. And people who are homely and believe they're homely and they do not see their radiance in Christ are always self-conscious around other people because they're worried about what other people think. It does not matter what other people think. It only matters what God thinks. And God has put His stamp of USDA Universal Eternal Approval on your forehead. And you are grade A number one, saint of God. It'll transform your life. It's my greatest prayer for you as your pastor. My greatest prayer for you is that you get a hold of what the gospel means to your life and you will understand the psychological power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. If you have any questions on this, feel free to call me or write me at mark@rockthechurch.com. I'll do my best to get back to you and answer them. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the power of the Word of God, the power of the gospel. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." Lord, you not only save us. See, this salvation is not only salvation from hell, not only salvation from eternal judgment, but salvation here and now from self-consciousness, from insecurity, from fear. It's freedom. Freedom to be filled with inexpressible joy because of who I am in Jesus Christ, because of what I've been made in Jesus Christ, because the old Mark is dead, the old is going, and the new has come. Lord, I pray today that you would grip each heart here this evening, grip each person, grip each life, and help them to live like this couple I saw last night. Help them to smile. Help them to radiate. Help them to have the confidence and the joy for which Christ died to give us. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you tonight for your indescribable gift. Thank you for the soul makeover, the eternal makeover that you've given us through your Son. We bless you, we worship you, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.